The title of my message this Christmas morning, God's Gift for a World in Need. Please stand to your feet for the reading of Scripture out of love and respect for the Holy Bible. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, and here is the word of the Lord. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in stripes of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Do not be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in stripes of cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. Father, we thank you for this incredible story that happened 2,000 years ago on a day like today. Thank you that the announcement was first given not to the kings and to the royal princes and princesses of the world at that time, to the most esteemed, but to shepherds in a field. And thank you for that announcement that has been declared to us, many of us, not for the first time, but may it never get old, that Christ the Lord has come to the world. Pray and ask your blessings now in the name that's above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. The main thought, main idea for this special Christmas sermon, just as babies undeniably change the lives of their parents, the birth of Jesus Christ changed the world. Do you remember when you first heard the words El Nino? They first blew onto the scene in the 1990s. And it's a weather condition that meteorologists have known about for a long time. It's this cyclical climate pattern where warmer than usual Pacific Ocean temperatures profoundly affect weather all over the world. El Nino cycles last for several years. They cause heavy rains in one part, in some parts of the globe, and then drought in the others. And actually, El Nino was named by a Peruvian fisherman who noticed how these weather changes begin in December. Literally, the Spanish expression means little boy. They called it that because December is when Christians, when we welcome another El Nino into the world. Christ the Lord. Jesus, born in Bethlehem. And the amazing thing is, Christmas, we don't celebrate the birth of God, but the birth of God becoming a human. Because at Bethlehem wasn't the beginning of Jesus' life. He had always existed in eternity past as the second member of the Holy Trinity, but he had a beginning in his earthly experience as a human. It's just mind-boggling. So if you're talking about the weather, El Nino, it means change. But first-time parents, Joseph and Mary, there was another meaning for the term El Nino. Or, in some people's cases, boy or girl, El Nino or La Nina. Boy or girl, right? A baby daughter. A child brings a whole new set of changes. A baby does change everything. Every parent in here can consent to that, because you can remember when you discovered for the first time that you were a parent. The joy, the ecstasy, the shock, the surprise at times. And even as grandparents, those of you that are grandparents, when that news comes to you, you're in awe, you're in wonder. So last night, after our incredible Christmas Eve services, the Tody family, the Molina family, we went back to our house and we broke bread and shared a meal, and then we were going to open gifts. And my daughter-in-law was unusually excited to get to the opening of the gifts. And so we couldn't eat fast enough, and I'm a clean freak, and I couldn't get the dishes, you know, help get the dishes clean or set aside quick enough. And I'm like, boy, she's really eager to open presents, right? So she sat us all down, and my wife and I were seated on the couch. Jules and Claudia were seated next to us on the same couch. And she came and handed each of us, well, me and her dad, this box. I'm not paying attention. This whole thing's recorded. It's absolutely embarrassing from my perspective. So my wife gets the box and she opens it, and she starts to, Claudia gets her box and she opens it, and all of a sudden everybody's screaming. And I'm sitting there like, what's going on? Is there a mouse running in the house? Or like, what? And they're screaming and they're not paying attention to me, and they shouldn't be paying attention to me. Because if you took a moment to look inside the box, there were these little booties, right? And then if you took time to read the box, and they all did this in a split second and were screaming and going crazy. I'm like, what? What's going on? Well, the inside of the box says, this Christmas present can't be beat. Our family is growing by one heart and 2 feet. Hallelujah. It even has the date, August 7th, 2023. So when you hear the news, you know, you're going to have a baby. You're going to be a parent. You're going to be a father. You're going to be a mother. You're going to be grandparents. A baby changes everything. Think about Jesus. The story of Christmas is the story that is so amazing, that is untouched and unmatched in all the religions of the world, because the God that created all things, the most powerful being in the universe, everything in this universe had a start, had a beginning, except God. Except the God the Son and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And in this story of Christmas, this all-powerful God that created all things, that spoke and the worlds came into existence, this God becomes a little helpless baby in the form of his Son, Jesus, and is entrusted to Joseph and Mary, new parents. New parents, and those of you that have adopted a child or have had a child, and you have this living soul that you are now responsible for, all kinds of adjustments occur in your life when that child arrives. For Joe, or Joseph, he was trying to find lodging on that first Christmas morning, right? He was an unwelcome guest in Bethlehem. He was knocking on door after door after door to try to find lodging. When he finally does, some grumpy old man says, well, you know, there's the manger that's available because we're shut down. Apparently, the Cowboys were playing in Bethlehem that weekend, and all the hotel rooms and all the Airbnbs were taken up. And what a Christmas gift for Cowboys fans yesterday. Wow. And so he finally finds a stable. And you can imagine Mary, she's like, really, Joseph? I'm not just carrying any baby. This is the baby of all babies, the Savior of the world. And I'm here in a stable. This is what's described in the Gospels, that Jesus is to be born in a stable filled with manure and stinky animals. And this is the greatest gift the world will ever receive. The gift of God's Son. And then after the baby is born, all of a sudden, ladies, those of you that have had children, you don't want to see, you really only want to see your in-law. Like, keep the mother-in-law out, right? Usually that's the way it kind of works. Am I wrong? No judgment here. But here's Mary, this new mother, savior of the world, and all of a sudden, shepherds show up. I'm sure she's like looking at Joseph, like, really? Did you invite them? He's like, I don't even know them. Hey, what are your all's names again? Right? She's like, she's getting, I would think, you know, she's human, right? She's getting a little frustrated, angry, like, it's a private time. I'm with all these animals and now a bunch of shepherds. You know, shepherds didn't smell very good back then. They lived in the fields with the sheep. That's the detail that the Bible gives us. And there are these shepherds oohing and awing, and she's like trying to nurse baby Jesus, trying to cover whatever, you know. I mean, well, the angels did say he would be wrapped in clothing, stripes of cloth right there. So they walk in, and all of a sudden, there's the first Christmas. Jesus, you know, Joseph and Mary, baby Jesus, and the donkeys and the cows or sheep and shepherds. But how special was that moment? And how that baby changed everything. Country music singer Faith Hill, she captures the strangeness and the terror of Mary's experience with these lyrics. Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come, a baby changes everything. Not a ring on her hand, all her dreams and all her plans, a baby changes everything. The man she loves, she never touched. How will she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. You know, quite apart from this angelic proclamation about the natural laws of nature being suspended because Mary's conception wasn't immaculate, but it was miraculous. There's a difference between the term immaculate and miraculous. Immaculate means that Mary was sinless. She was not sinless, but she was a chosen vessel, blessed among all women, to receive this miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit. To think that she carried this child full term, all along realizing Joseph has not touched me yet. They were legally married through engagement, but the marriage wasn't consummated by the consummation of that marriage on the honeymoon night. And the Bible is very clear that he never sexually touched her until after baby Jesus was born. And then we know that Mary and Joseph had, Jesus had half-brothers and half-sisters. But for that full 9 months, she's carrying and she's thinking, this baby growing in me is a living human being. And I already know it's a son. We already have his name because the angel gave the name to both Mary and to Joseph. And she's thinking, this is the Savior of the world. How astounding is this Christmas story? On that subject, Presbyterian minister and novelist Frederick Buechner has this to say, reflecting on the experience of his generation when fathers weren't so often present in the delivery room. And I have it up on the screens. This is an amazing quote from Frederick Buechner. He said, when a child is born, a father is born. A mother is born too, of course. But at least for her, it's a gradual process, body and soul. She has 9 months to get used to what's happening. She becomes what's happening. But for even the best prepared father, it happens all at once. On the other side of the plate glass window, a nurse is holding up something roughly the size of a loaf of bread for him to see for the first time. Even if he should decide to abandon it forever, 10 minutes later, the memory will nag him to the grave. He has seen the creation of the world. It has his mark upon it. He has its mark upon him. Both marks are for better or worse, indelible. And I can only imagine the experience of Joseph You know, he was going to put Mary away when he found out that she was with a child. He understood how biology worked even 2,000 years ago, and he's thinking, she was unfaithful to me. There's no way out of this, Mary. You're guilty. I don't care what you say, that it's from the Holy Ghost, blah, blah, blah. And he goes to sleep that night, and an angel appears to him and says, you take her as your wife, because that which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. And credit to Joseph, he did. Yes, a baby changes everything. And no one's really ever ready for that baby when it arrives by birth, by adoption. No one. I mean, there's no course that you could really take. There's nothing in life that really prepares you for it, although I know there's probably some expert on YouTube or TikTok that will tell you exactly how to do it. Don't waste your time. There's no way to obtain a certificate or a diploma ahead of time. Maybe we should. Declaring that you are now have been trained, tested, fully prepared, certified to shepherd a new human life through the perils of all of the mortal existence and experiences of this life. As any psychotherapist will tell you, a great many people spend years weeding out mistakes their parents made as they learn how to parent on the fly, on the job training, while still dealing with things in their own life. And the cycle continues, right? From generation to generation. You see, parenting is the most important job in the world. It is the most difficult job in the world, and no one is adequately trained ahead of time. And I think we are now grandparents. We're going to have a grandchild. We have a grandchild. It's just in the oven for the next 8 months, right? And maybe we are called grandparents because we learned all the mistakes on our children, and now we can become not just parents, but grandparents in parenting. And hopefully we could share the wisdom of our successes and failures with our children as they raise theirs so that each generation gets a little bit better. Amen? But here's the good news, even for those of you that, and I'm sorry if you did, had terrible upbringings and maybe some terrible memories. The blood of Jesus can cover all that, right? The cross of Jesus makes all the difference in the world for that. But the fact that those of you that had difficult childhoods are still here today, you survived it, is proof of how resilient children really are, because their angel bears them before the Father all their lives. It's a crazy system, if you ask me, but it's the only one we've got. So we all have to make the best of it. As Joseph and Mary, in very difficult times, in a very difficult situation, it wasn't off to a great start, right? I mean, you know, this unexpected pregnancy, Joseph having to cover for Mary and tell all his family and friends, it's from the Holy Ghost, an angel appeared to me in a dream. They're like, yeah, Joseph, what have you been smoking? Standing by his woman, standing with her. Because of some tax requirement, they had to travel to Bethlehem. She's 9 months pregnant. But she ends up delivering him exactly where Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says, prophesied hundreds of years prior, about 500 years prior, exactly where Christ would be born, in Bethlehem. God has it all arranged. And sometimes it's not according to our specifications or our plans, but we have to trust him. And that's what Mary and Joseph did. They trusted the leading of the Holy Spirit. They trusted the message of God through the angels. You know how we can learn from them. We have a more sure word than having angels appearing to us in a dream. We have the Holy Scriptures that can guide us and lead us into all truth. Aren't we grateful for what God has given us through the Bible? Our Savior, born in a dirty, manure-infested stable, only for 33 years later to die on a bloody cross outside the city of Jerusalem. What a Savior. And if that doesn't touch our hearts, we don't have a heart. If that story doesn't strike a chord in your heart, and I'm afraid you have a heart of stone. Because this is the story of Christmas. As I said last night, said before, all of us were born to live, but Christ was born to die. And this baby changed everything. This pregnancy, this birth, this child changed the world. So threatening was Jesus that Satan inspired Herod to find him, to kill him. Joseph, once again, an angel appears to him and says, take Mary and the child and go to Egypt. It wasn't kosher. It wasn't proper for Jewish people to live in Egypt. They were called out of Egypt. And yet the Savior of the world, as an infant, is taken to Egypt. And how did they live in Egypt? Well, remember, sometime after the birth of Jesus, the wise men finally showed up. Mary's a little bit more prepared for this. Jesus was about 1.5. You know, he's probably walking by now. And they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that's what they lived on while they were in Egypt. And then Herod dies, and an angel appears again. Joseph was famous with the angels. And the angel said, okay, go back. They went back to Nazareth. And the Bible says that Jesus, he's referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. For that's where our Savior was raised. What a beautiful story, the coming of Christ. This baby changed the world. So, in closing, what changes has the Lord made in your life, friend? Look how disrupted the lives of Joseph and Mary were forever. Forever. Mary had other children and had to love and raise them all, but there was something special about Jesus, yes. She witnessed his crucifixion. The courage and the faith of Mary. She was there on the day of Pentecost, the Bible tells us. The last time she's mentioned in the Bible is Acts chapter 2. She's among the early church, 120 in the upper room that were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. She had to witness her son, how he was mistreated, abused, lied about, rejected, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, and then nailed to a cross. But her soul cried out, and she knew that not only was Jesus her son, but Jesus, more importantly, was her Savior. What changes has the Lord made in your life? Maybe the second most important question this Christmas, what needs to change in your life, in my life, in our lives? Three things. 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Jesus changes us in at least three ways. Jesus changes what needs to be changed in you and in me, and he does it at least in three ways. First of all, by his grace. In this final departing blessing that Paul gives to the Corinthians, he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace. Christ changes us by way of his grace. It is by his grace, and his grace is real. God's grace through Christ is real. It's something we feel. It's not something that we feel as much as it's something that we receive. And there's a difference. You may not always feel forgiven, but if you've repented of your sins, friend, you are forgiven. So grace isn't necessarily something that we feel, but it's something that we receive. It's not an emotion, but a practice. A practice. Mary Flannery O'Connor, many of you are familiar with her, was an American novelist, short story writer, essayist, one of the greatest the world has ever known. She wrote 2 novels and 31 short stories, as well as a number of reviews and commentaries. She lived from 1925 to 1964 and died of a horrible disease, suffering. She was a strong Catholic. And once Flannery O'Connor, wrote to Cecil Dawkins, and in the letter makes this amazing statement, because grace changes us and the change is painful. Don't let that pass you by. Because grace changes us and the change is painful. I'm going to say it one more time. because grace changes us, and the change is painful. The grace of Jesus, even in the life of Mary and Joseph, from the time he was conceived to the time he was born, and as they raised him, there was pain associated with that grace in their life. And friend, there will be pain associated with God's grace in your life, in my life. So what does that mean? Because grace changes us and the change is painful. What does that mean? Well, grace isn't needed when life is a bed of roses. Grace isn't looked to and grace isn't depended upon when it's sunshine and lollipops and everything's going our way. No, grace is needed when tragedy strikes, when misfortune happens, when evil attacks, when failure occurs. Then grace can be experienced through the pain of life. And that grace is real. The other morning in my devotion, I'm in the book of Matthew, and I was reading Matthew 18, just meditating on it. It's the story of the debtor and how the king forgives this debtor of his debt and is shown amazing mercy and grace. Grace gives you what you don't deserve, and mercy holds back from you what you do deserve. And so that man received both grace and mercy, because he should have been thrown in jail, but he wasn't. He was extended forgiveness. That's grace. Then he goes out and he finds somebody that owes him far less, like a Coke, right? Like $2. He grabs him by the throat and he says, "You got to pay me." He goes, "I can't pay you right now." He says, "You better pay me." And he throws the guy in jail. Well, some of the king's servants, you know the story, they tell the king, "Hey, that guy that you just forgave that tremendous debt, you should have seen how he was treating others." And the king was furious. The king took him and threw him in prison with the tormentors, Jesus said, until he could pay his debt in full. And then sometimes Jesus is scary in the things he says. If you read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, "So will the Father do to you if you don't forgive." I'm like, "Ooh, is there anyone in my life I need to forgive, right? Let's get this done right here, Jesus." Grace. But grace is extended to us, and that's how we're changed. But it's not easy. You all know, right? Perhaps we'll be making some New Year's resolutions, you know, in this new year, blah, blah, blah. But you know, those, they're not easy, are they? Change is not easy under any circumstance. And that's why we need God's grace. And let's just take a moment and thank the Lord for his amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, but now I see, was lost, but now I'm found. And that grace has been extended to all of us. So how does Jesus change us? What has he changed in your life? What is he changing in your life? What needs to change in your life, friend? He does it, first of all, by his grace. Number two, by the love of the Father. By grace. How does Jesus change us? By grace, by love. Through grace comes through Jesus, and love comes from the Father. A life that has been loved. I told somebody the other day, because I used to say this all the time when I first came to this church, at the end of every service I would say, "You're not loved because you're valuable. You're valuable because you're loved. First of all by God, and then by us." I would end every service that way. Think about that. You're not loved because, see, the world loves you because you're valuable. You have something to contribute. You have something that they like about you, something that you do for them, and so they adore you, they love you. But God doesn't love you because you're valuable. You are valuable because God loves you. Unconditionally, God loved you. While you were yet a sinner running from God, he loved you. He's always loved you. He'll never stop loving you. And what is it about you that he loves? What is it about me that he loves? When it comes to the standard of love, none of us meet the standard of God's love, but we have it anyway. That's because God is love. That's his nature. Hallelujah. Have you ever had a pet you didn't love? I had a dog I didn't love. Actually, I loved it, then I stopped loving it because it kept running away. It was a prodigal dog, a rebellious dog. I wanted to change my dog's name to Gomer, if you know the story of Hosea. She was a lustful dog, that dog I had. Ever had a pet you didn't love? You know, there's a dirty little secret many families keep. At times, one or both parents struggle in loving all their children equally. I hope that's not the case for you. I hope it wasn't the case for you. But some of you were raised in a family, and you know, you were not your daddy's favorite. Some of you were, and you're smiling from ear to ear right now. Some of you were mama's favorite. Others, you weren't mama's favorite. And one of the most destructive things in a family, now, everyone has a different love language, and you know, you love your children equally, but you love them differently, right? Right, moms, right, dads? But shame on the parent, you know, that loves and favors one above the other. Because every child that God entrusts us to by birth or by adoption, they are a gift given to us, and we are stewards of those children, and we love them equally, and we love them unconditionally. Listen, God has no black sheep in his family. Maybe you've kind of identified as, I'm the black sheep of my family. Wear it as a badge then. You're different, praise God. But in God's family, he has no black sheep. Maybe a few goats, but no black sheep. No, I'm kidding. You better bah, ha, ha, not but. That's the difference. Sheep and goats. All right. Your lunch is waiting for you, I know. It's in the crock pot. How does Jesus change us? By grace, by love, and finally, number three, by his Spirit. Grace comes from Jesus, love from the Father, and then power. Power from the Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. How does he change us? By his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is many things, many, many, many things. He's a person, and you can have a personal relationship with him. You could have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's wonderful to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the third member that of the Holy Trinity that many times does not get mentioned or appreciated as he should. It's not an it. Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit's a person, and we can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, Paul says here in this verse and in many other places in the Bible. So many ways to describe the Holy Spirit, but what came to me in this message as I was writing it is that the Holy Spirit is God's temperature gauge inside of us. And the Holy Spirit registers our spiritual temperature. But not only is the Holy Spirit a temperature gauge in us, the Holy Spirit is the thermostat within us. And the Holy Spirit will help regulate and should regulate our spiritual temperature for God to make sure that we stay hot and on fire for Jesus and that we don't grow cold in our faith. Come on, somebody, can I get a witness? There's so much that could be said about the Holy Spirit, and this next year we're going to be celebrating 60 years at Trinity Church. Our church started in 1963. Hallelujah. And so we're gonna have a Holy Spirit conference this next year. We're gonna bring in some guest speakers, and we just want to continue to emphasize the importance of you learning about walking in the Spirit, walking with the Holy Spirit, understanding biblically, doctrinally who the Holy Spirit is, and all the blessings that come through the Holy Spirit of a Spirit-empowered Christian existence, a Spirit-empowered life. And what I want to say in closing is, how does Jesus change us? By his grace, by his love, and by his Spirit. And we have to learn, all of us, we have to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit more in our lives. To yield to the Holy Spirit. You know what it means to yield? When I come to residential stop signs, I don't stop, I yield. I know I shouldn't. Pray for me. Pray for me. I do look both ways, but like, it's senseless. Nobody's here. Why do I need to stop? I know I need to. Pray for me. I'm not perfect. To yield is what most of us do when we come to, if we should stop. I know all the law enforcement officers are going to give me a ticket now. We should stop. But the Holy Spirit, there are times he'll tell us to stop. There are times he'll tell us to go. But most of the time, it's just yielding. You shouldn't have that thought. I know, Holy Spirit. You shouldn't harbor that feeling. I know, Holy Spirit. You need to tell that person you're sorry. I know, Holy Spirit. You need to give here. I know, Holy Spirit. And it's simply yielding and responding to the Holy Spirit in our lives. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for this special Christmas celebration, this Christmas service. It's not going to happen again for 11 years. So thank you that we're all healthy and we're able to be here today. Pray for those that wanted to be here but couldn't be here because they weren't feeling good or they're traveling. Thank you for your protection and care over them. Thank you for those that are watching online. May they sense your presence and your love. It's by your grace, by your love, and by your Spirit that Jesus, baby Jesus, who grew up to be the Savior of the world, changes us. So help us, Lord, in the areas that we need to change, that we learn what it means to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you'd like to rededicate your life to Him, He loves you so much. I hope you've heard that, and I hope that message was conveyed through the sermon today. And Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, as it says in Revelation 3:20, and He's knocking. And if anyone will hear His voice and open up the door of their heart, Christ will come into you and have fellowship with you, and you can have fellowship with Him. But you must confess Him as your Lord and as your Savior. And you must say it from your heart with your own mouth. We're going to lead you in a prayer. The rest of the congregation, out of encouragement, will pray this prayer with you. You know who you are. So be sure and say it with your own mouth and mean it from your own heart. Here we go. Dear God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. I call upon you, Jesus. I ask you now, come into my heart, come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. I turn from sin to the true and living God. I receive His love, His grace, and His forgiveness. Dear God in heaven, you're now my Father, and I am your child. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Give me strength to live for you and serve you all the days of my life, beginning today for the rest of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise, church family.
It is so true that a baby changes everything. Last night at our Christmas Eve service, we had a gentleman that came to one of our services. At the end of our service, he went to the guest kiosk, and he was just asking for biblical coaching. And so we gave him that information, but he left born again. He was dealing with suicidal ideation, and before he left this place last night, he found this good news in a baby Jesus. So if that's you today, if you responded to that message a moment ago, if you prayed that prayer, if you just need prayer for whatever may be going on in your life, I'm going to invite our ministry team forward, and as they are making their way forward, will you stand with me? We would love to pray for you before you go celebrate and spend the rest of the day with your family. We hope you will join us next weekend. We're going to have an amazing service. Get ready for an incredible 2023. Merry Christmas. You are dismissed.